What we're going to do now then is we're going to look at the power or control over minds. Oh, okay. We had talked about the first half, which is the Old Testament of the mind and the spirit connection, remember? Now we're going to try to go one step further and understand a little bit more. So then we'll pray together and we'll go into this concept of power and control over the minds and the spirit. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to be together, and we ask that you would please help us to understand a little bit more about how you can work with us and our minds, and how also the enemy is working with our minds, depending on how we have chosen. We pray that you would please bless us that we can know better how to serve you and to serve you alone. Please don't allow me to speak, but rather help us to understand what is being said here to us. And we thank you for this opportunity, praying that you'd please help and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last time we looked at the first half of 111 Bible verses. We got to like, what is it, 70 or something like that, or 40? I don't remember. We didn't get very far. In fact, let me just see. We got to 39. Number 39 verses out of the Bible. This time we're going to be looking at power and control in the writings of Sister White, and we'll be able to see just the bold statements that I make, because there's a lot of information here. So I'm going to try to get through a good portion of it, but if you guys start falling asleep again, no, I'm kidding. But if anybody gets tired, just let me know. Satan works in the children of disobedience. That's in accordance with Ephesians 2, not merely having access to their minds, that's what he does, but working through their influence, conscious and unconscious, to draw others into the same disobedience. Wow, right? If evil angels have such power, how much greater power the good angels? So did you see what happened right there? Satan's working with people's minds. And if Satan has his angels doing that, how much more power can God's angels have? Right? So angels of God work in our hearts unto righteousness. Did you see that? That's a pretty powerful statement. That's in the very first paragraph, and I think that bears a lot of information. First selected messages. And these notes will be available if you just let me know, I'll send them to you. So here, if the mind commences to run in this channel, which is the channel of infidelity, it is almost sure to lose its balance and be controlled by what? Now, what is it that would be controlled? The mind. You see how this works? It's about mind control. So if a demon is in somebody in the Bible, what's happening? They're controlling the mind. It's in control of the mind. It's in that person, in the control of that person. So, the human family have all the help that Christ had in their conflicts with Satan. Now, what are some of those helps that Christ had in the conflicts? The ministration of angels. Like, for example, what happened in the wilderness when he was tempted. After that trial of the enemy trying to get Christ to use both his benefit himself with his physical and his divine nature. If you're hungry as a human, then use your divinity to make those stones into bread, right? So he was tempting his natural and divine nature. And so what did God the Father send to his son to help his son at that time when he was face to face with the devil? You're right. Christ used the word of God for his own security, but you're right also. God sent an angel. You read it in Matthew chapter 4. In fact, if you're not familiar with it, I'll just go ahead and find it. Matthew 4, right here. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. It says it right there in the scripture that God sent angels. Now, we also know that when Christ was really tempted, again, by the devil personally in the Garden of Gethsemane, what does the book of Luke say that God sent to his son? An angel. An angel was there to strengthen him, right? And so they need not be overcome. Why? Because the human family, you and I, have all the help that Christ had in the conflict with Satan. Do you see how the Bible brings that out? We have the ministration of angels to do what? To war against this fallen angel. You see how that works? Angels against angels. You don't have greater against lesser, because what would happen is in the judgment, they would say, that's not fair. But we have the opportunity of being able to know that God is fair. He is just. He is all these wonderful things. The angelic agencies are all ready to come to the help of the tried and tempted soul. That's why the Bible, for example, says in Psalm chapter 91, verse 11, He, that's God the Father, shall give His angels charge over thee. What are they going to do? To keep thee in all thy ways. The angels are going to keep you. Why? Because God has given those angels charge concerning you. And if there's a holy angel commanded by God to protect you, what kind of power does that angel have? All the power available. You're right. It's omnipotent power. Those angels have been sent by God with the power of God to keep you from falling if you're willing. That's amazing. That's what Psalm 91 says. We've read it so how many times, and we've even memorized it as kids, but somehow we haven't gotten the fact that God is using angels as He does because of the Trinitarian doctrine, which has messed everything up. All the help Christ received, every man may receive in the great trial. Again, when He was in the wilderness and the Garden of Gethsemane. We can conquer the satanic agencies, or we can join ourselves with the powers that seek to counteract the work of God in our world. So it's really up to us. It's our choice. The angelic agencies are messengers from heaven, actually ascending and descending, keeping earth in constant connection with the heaven above. They are ready to help all in their weakness, guarding from all moral and physical danger according to the providence of God. So wait a minute. They, angels, right? These angel messengers, they are ready to do what? Keep us from all moral and physical danger. Not just moral, not just physical. Moral and physical danger according to the providence of God. And whenever souls yield to the softening, subduing influence of the Spirit of God under these angel ministrations, there is joy in heaven. The Lord Himself rejoices with singing. Notice what it's saying. Whenever souls, that's you and I, we yield to something, it's the softening, subduing influence of the Spirit of God under these angel ministrations. So the Spirit of God is worked through the angels, right? And then it says there is joy where? In heaven. Who in heaven is rejoicing? It says, the Lord Himself rejoices with singing. Where is the Lord Himself?
Imagine that.
In heaven.
I wonder what His voice sounds like.
Oh man, I mean, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be like your wife's voice when she was singing, right? In that dream. So the whole concept that's being spoken of in this one section, this is all one section here. We all get the same power that Christ got when He was on the earth. And what is it? It's the ministration of heavenly angels. Because they have God's power being commissioned by God with all the energy in heaven to fulfill their mission for you and for me. These are angels. Here's another quote from First Select Messages. Angels of God will work with and through and by those who will cooperate with the heavenly agencies for the saving of a soul from death. So when we go out to do missionary work, who are we working with? Yep, we're working with, and the angels are working through us and by us when we're cooperating with the saving of a soul. So we get to work with angels when we're out doing ministry. Think about this. When Abram was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah, Christ Himself came with two angels, right? Christ sent those two angels to go and personally take Lot and his family by the hand out of Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we know, according to the Bible, Christ sent His angels to do ministry for the sake of those that were willing to be saved. Skipping down, evil angels are working all the time upon the hearts of men. So do you think good angels would be working all the time upon the hearts of men as well? Yeah, or else it'd be unfair. If only evil angels work on your heart in the judgment, you'd be able to say, that's not fair. What about the good angels? And if it was only the Holy Spirit without angels, then the enemy would be able to say, God, that's not fair. But if there's angels working against angels and you get the choice between the angels of the good side or the angels of the evil side, it will be completely fair for every single soul on the earth bar none. Right? So the judgment is going to be fair, and it's based on how we interact with the influences that have been sent to us, either good or evil angels. All who willfully depart from God's commands are placing themselves under the control of Satan. Under the what?
Control.
The control. Willfully departing, isn't that a decision you make with your mind? I'm going to willfully depart. And when I willfully depart from God, I am choosing by default to allow Satan to control me. He finds himself controlled by a will stronger than his own. That's why you can't turn away from the enemy when you've surrendered to him. You see, God has a will stronger than our own. But if we choose to walk away from God, he doesn't stop us and grab us by the neck and say, you're not going anywhere. He just says, hey, you know, I wish you would come back. Please do. And you say, you know what? I'm not coming back. And the enemy says, yeah, come over here. I got you. And you're like, you know what? I want to leave. He's like, you're not going anywhere, punk. That's exactly what the enemy's saying to us, right? And so the control is the same as long as we're willing. If we're willing to be controlled by God, he can control us, and he will, without any evil angels being able to mess that up. But if we give ourselves willingly over to the enemy, he will keep us. He won't let us go. That's the difference. You see, that's where we have deliverance from the enemy. Nobody wants to be delivered from the Lord. I guess you can't say anybody, but most of the time you don't read about people or hear about people wanting to be delivered from the Lord. Although I'm sure somebody's got that testimony in the world. There you go. God's control is freeing. Satan's control is binding. That's good. He cannot escape its mysterious power. Secret sin or master passion may hold him a captive as helpless. And that's the demoniac of Capernaum. Revelation 18:23 is a good example, where it says, the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. By the way, the light shining, that's the gospel, right? The bridegroom is Christ. The bride is the church. They won't be around anymore. The Bible, God, the church, they're gone. Babylon has none of that anymore. It says, why? Thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Okay, here's the application that's kind of coming through the back door a little bit. But sorceries, what does that word mean? Look it down at the bottom right here.
Pharmakia.
Pharmakia. Did you know that? What's that?
Wilson shared.
He does share about that, yeah, but it's a real thing. And so here, pharmakia is a way that all nations are deceived. How are they deceived? Well, what is pharmakia today?
Pharmaceuticals.
It's pharmaceuticals, but it is very addictive, okay? If we are addicted to something, anything, whether it be pornography, whether it be caffeine,
food.
Nicotine, food, alcohol, medications, anything, work, money, anything.
Money, yeah.
If we're addicted to anything, especially that which costs money, we're going to have a very difficult time when there is no ability to buy or sell except those who have the mark of the beast. And so what if you're addicted to something, but you really believe that you shouldn't have that and you want to keep the Sabbath and you don't want to follow the world and you've got this natural craving and this force that's telling you, you need to buy and sell because I need that caffeine, I need that whatever, right? So that's one of the ways that it's practical that we're being controlled by the enemy physically and also mentally, because any addiction is both physical and mental. So I'm sure there are many applications that could be made, but that's one that came right to my head as well. So he's controlled by a power greater than his own. The ancient system of magic is in reality the same as what it now is known as modern spiritualism. Satan is finding access to thousands of minds. So magic. Interesting. That's quite popular these days. Under the guise of departed friends is how he does that. Of course, that's spiritualism. People, a lot of people today are saying that angels are the spirits of departed friends or family. I know that's true because there's a video that's out. It's a true story about some guy that wanted to blow up some kids in a school. And all these kids started praying during that time. And after they were praying, the Lord really worked a miracle to deliver those kids from being killed. The only ones that were killed were the bomber and his wife. But their testimonies came out afterwards, these little kids' testimonies, that they were visited by angels. And so they were like, angels, you know, like, tell us, what did they look like? And they were like, well, it kind of looked like grandma. It kind of looked like Aunt so-and-so or Uncle who, however. And so they would show pictures of these to these kids of people that had died many years ago. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one that was there. And so this whole purpose of this video was to show the miracles that happened, but also to bring in the spiritualism that we know is not true according to the Bible. So I'm sure that there were miracles and potentially angels, but they were not the departed spirits of friends and family. Okay, just so everybody knows, that's not the case. True to his early cunning, Satan employs this device in order to gain control of minds. That's his whole desire. He, as a spirit, wants control over your spirit. And so what he's doing is he's controlling spirits. He's controlling minds. That's what it's about. It's a spiritual or spirit warfare. You see how that works? And what are angels but spirits? That's what the Bible calls them in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7 and 14. And also in the Psalm 104. Let's see, we'll continue on here. Reason, enlightened by the teaching of God's word and guided by his spirit, must hold the reins of control. So we must hold our reason in control, okay? Guided by God's word and guided by his mind, his spirit, it must reign or hold the reins of control. So if we give up our reasoning control, if it's not something we are holding as that which needs to be subject to God's will, to what we know to be right, then we yield ourselves over to Satan. That's just the way it goes. There's only two options. You're going to be either part of the tares or part of the wheat, part of the sheep or part of the goats, according to the Bible, right? You're going to be part of the just or the unjust, the righteous or the wicked. There's not going to be this middle group that just is like, well, you know, I didn't want either spirit. I just wanted to be myself. It doesn't work that way. We really don't have our own spirit that is not controlled by somebody else. It's either controlled by God or the Satan. And that would be through the ministration of their angels. I frankly don't believe I'm as important for the devil to come directly to me. He sent his angels to me to control, try to control me, right? Like, I don't believe I've been personally, physically visited by Christ. I believe his spirit has been sent to me through the ministration of his angels, but I don't know that he's actually left heaven and come to me. Just like I don't think Satan has left his dominion and come to me. Maybe he has. I'm just guessing that he's using his angels to do that. Yeah. Yeah, in the churches, Satan's dominion was in Rome. Okay. Somebody asked me the other day, it was a couple months ago, like, where is Satan's dominion? Mm-hmm. Right off, I mean, just without even thinking, I said the Seventh-day Adventist headquarters.
Whoa. Oh.
And then I was like, did I just say that?
Are you kidding me?
That's what I said.
It
came out. And I was like, whoa, did I just say that? And I thought, you know what? If it's not Rome, it is the Seventh-day Adventist headquarters, because what they're doing right now is they are foremost in reaching their hand across the gulf to clasp the hand of spiritualism. And the other hand, what does it do? It clasps the hand of Rome. Look at the Antichrist opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits where? In the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What is he doing right now through the Seventh-day Adventist Church? They are extremely evangelistic, going around the world as fast as they can, trying to show that this false god is sitting in the temple of God. Shall I continue reading?
Yes, please.
Under Jesus Christ, with him to control and his spirit to guide. So that's what we want, is him in control, right? And his spirit to guide. If he is in control, what is he in control of? Our minds. And then his spirit, his mind, will guide our mind.
What's AH, Daniel?
Adventist Home?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. When Satan's bewitching power controls a person, God is forgotten, and man, who is filled with corrupt purposes, is extolled. So that's what's happening here. Satan's controlling a person, and God is what? Forgotten from where? The mind. Man is filled with corrupt purposes. What are the purposes from? From the mind, right? So again, it's this whole idea of...
The man is continually evil.
Yeah, exactly. But the whole idea behind this is that we are controlled through our minds. Because you have not been under God's control, your conduct toward each other has been unwise. And so there we have God's control. This is good practical stuff for us. If I want God to be in control of me, then my actions toward others or conduct will be wise, or it will be unwise. Why? Because I've given my mind to the control of another. See? The will of the parents must be under the discipline of Christ. Molded and controlled by God's pure Holy Spirit, they may establish unquestioned dominion over their children. Yeah. See, I suppose you could say if the parents are under the discipline of Christ, and if Christ is lovable, and therefore the parents are lovable, the children can be loving toward the lovable parents and the lovable Lord. Does that make sense? Seeds sown are hard to pluck up. Some weeds are very hard to kill. If the heart is not kept under the control of God, if the Holy Spirit does not work unceasingly to refine and ennoble the character, the old habits will reveal themselves in the life. Mm. So again, the heart needs to be under the control. If they do not gain the victory over sin, then sin is gaining the victory over them. The thorns that have been cut off but not uprooted grow apace until the soul is overspread with them. Mm. And that, of course, is the control that the enemy has over us. It's through sin. Sin will sprout up, and through those sins and habits and choices, we will have our minds controlled. Christ object lessons. Thus, the whole land under God's control would become an object lesson of spiritual truth. I remember going through this. I mean, we won't have time to go through all of it, but there were, and I randomly found these. I didn't put them in order. It's just the order that I found them. When I was searching through the word spirit and control and mind and trying to put different ways together to find these different quotes, I realized when I was putting these together the other day that some of these quotes kind of fell in line with each other, whether it be for kids or whether it be for diet or whether it be for Satan controlling or God controlling. And I felt like the Lord had really had his hand in putting this together. So when you do go through these notes on your own time, I hope that you'll find them encouraging and applicable to helping you and me as these all should.
And you put all these come close to the Lord. With Daniel, right?
This will be, yeah. It's not up there yet. And actually, this is up there right now. Power and control over minds. And let's see. That's what it looks like. I just put it up there maybe 2 days ago.
I went for this morning.
This is just the one part. I wanted to go quickly over it, but it's bigger than I thought it was. So I won't be able to go all the way through it. But that's why I'm just reading the bolded parts that I highlighted. I did copy the whole paragraph and just selected the section that I thought was good in there. Our habits should be brought under the control of a mind that is itself under the control of God. It's pretty interesting, right? So I think this is written to children. Or people that work in business. I'm not sure. I don't remember. You'll have to go through and look at that yourself. It is only when brought under full control of the Spirit of God that the talents of an individual are rendered useful to the fullest extent. So if you want to be used for God, Surrender yourself to him. He'll do it. Your will is the spring of all your actions. This will that forms so important a factor in the character of man was at the fall given into the control of Satan. Interesting, right? So what we need to do is give over our will to God. We can choose to serve him. This is what Steps to Christ says. And then, of course, he will work in us to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Yield yourself up to me. Give me that will. Take it from the control of Satan, and I will take possession of it. Then I can work in you to will and to do of my good pleasure. When he gives you the mind of Christ, your will becomes as his will, and your character is transformed to be like Christ's character. 5T, that's a good one, I like that. 5T. You want me to read that one again?
Yes.
Yield yourself up to me, give me that will, take it from the control of Satan, and I will take possession of it. Then I can work in you to will and to do of my good pleasure. When he gives you the mind of Christ, your will becomes as his will, and your character is transformed to be like Christ's character. Good one. Yeah. Men who take away or turn away from the knowledge of God have placed their minds under the control of their master, Satan, and he trains them to be his servants. That's really what it's about, isn't it? It's about giving ourselves over and our minds over. And that one is found in Christian Education 100. So I'm not quite through half of it, but this is the concept that you'll read over and over again. It's really ourselves yielding over our minds. Like, for example, in Romans 6, 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That's what this is talking about, possession. Mm-hmm. You're either possessed by God or you're possessed by the enemy.
But it talks about your will yielding.
Yeah.
No one else can do that.
That's right. So we can be controlled by the Lord by choice. We can be controlled by the enemy by a lack of choices. Like, you can have a garden that's beautiful with rows and planted seeds, right? But unless you are actively pulling up those weeds, they will destroy the good vegetables or fruits, whatever you have in there. And so,
just right now.
Say again?
I have a garden just like that right now.
So when I was learning that concept in school back in, I don't know, 96 or so, being in a missionary college, learning how to do gardening, I remember listening to the teacher and raising my hand and making this comment, and I didn't ever forget it. I said, well, maybe, no, yeah, I think I said it. Maybe he said it. I don't remember. Doesn't matter. But one of the thoughts was, if we are not aggressively righteous, we will become passively wicked. And that made a lot of sense to me, especially with the garden concept. If you're not aggressively pulling out those weeds, protecting those precious plants, they will die. Yeah, right? I mean, all we need to do is neglect reading the Bible, and we will have a horrible experience.